everyone, I'm Bia, and welcome back to Cardiac Radio for Teens. For those of you who might not know, Cardiac Radio for Teens is a place where teens can come together with other teens to learn about Spiritist teachings and topics in a way that makes more sense to us and is more relatable to us as teenagers in today's society. And today's show is a very special show because today's is the 100th Cardiac Radio for Teens show that we've had, which is crazy to think that it's almost been 2 years, and how much not only myself but everyone else has grown along in this process and where we've come. Like, think about 2 years ago where you were, and now here we are, and we still have Cardiac Radio for Teens, and we're still learning every single week about Spiritist topics. I just want to thank everyone who helps in so many ways to get this done and to make it possible, and also for you guys, because not only am I providing information, but we're learning together, because as you guys are learning while listening, I'm learning while doing it, while reading it and reviewing all this stuff. So it's a learning process for everyone, and it's crazy to see how much everyone collectively has grown in the past 2 years. When I started this, I was just a junior in high school, and now I'm a freshman in college, and I've changed so much. And these messages, although it may seem like, oh, like we just do it once a week, only for a little bit, even these little learnings and teachings are helping us so much in our lives and helping us grow so much to our fuller potential. And I'm just really grateful for everyone that's helped in this process. But of course, just because we've reached 100 doesn't mean we're going to stop learning. We're going to keep going, and we're going to pick up where we left off, and we were talking about the law of self-preservation. So kind of like this instinct that you have to preserve yourself, to keep yourself alive, because now we've gotten to the part of the book where we're talking about moral laws. So we've talked about a lot about the spirit worlds, about the corporeal worlds, but now we're talking about the moral laws, how we get better, how we perfect ourselves, how we improve. And so this law that we're talking about is the law of self-preservation, and then the section that we left off in was talking about the means of self-preservation, like how people preserve themselves. So we'll continue right there with question 708. Question 708. Aren't there situations in which the means of substance do not depend solely on humans' will, and where the lack of bare necessities is a consequence of circumstances? So we have this like instinct to preserve ourselves, and we know like the basic things that we need: food, water, shelter. So we have these basic things, but what about, so they're saying here, what if you just don't have it because, let's say, the place around you just doesn't have food, or you can't find water, or what if it's just like a consequence of like the circumstances that you're in that you can't find these necessities? Or is it always, like, can someone always find it? And the spirits answered, "These situations are frequently cruel trials which humans must undergo, and to which they know they will be exposed. Their merit is in their submission to God's will, if their intelligence does not furnish them with some means for escaping their difficulty. If death must touch them, they should submit to it without complaining. Remember that their hour of true freedom has arrived, and that despair at the final moment may cause them to lose the fruit of their resignation." So, when this happens, like when people, and of course every case is different, so we can't just go generalizing and say this about everyone, but some cases when people like have nothing to like sustain themselves, and it's like a really hard condition, so this is one of a really hard, cruel trial that they have to go through to learn something from it. Of course, we know that everything that we're doing has a reason. It might seem cruel and awful, but there is a way that they're going to learn from this and improve from this. And so the way they prove themselves is that even in they're in a time of such hardship, they have to prove their connection with God and still love God and still have that connection with God and show that that's more important than anything that they have. And then they're saying even if death must touch them, so if their corporal body must die because of the lack of, like, physical necessities like food or shelter, then they should still be connected with God and realizing that they'll be better. They don't have to be, like, frantic and doing crazy things just because they think death is near. Of course, that doesn't mean we should, like, oh, we don't need to help those people, because they're just going through a trial. No, we should help the people as much as we can, and those people should still try and seek to, they shouldn't just sit there and be like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna die now and wait for God. No, we should still work hard, we should still try, but if it's at that point, then the whole point is to prove our connection with God. Question 709. Have those who in critical situations were obligated to sacrifice their fellow beings to appease their hunger committed a crime? If it was a crime, was it lessened by the need to stay alive, which the preservation instinct has given them? So what they're saying is, so there's, let's say, some people in a really tough situation, a really, really hard situation, and basically maybe to appease their hunger for any sort of reason, they sacrificed someone else. Is this a crime? And also, if it is a crime, is it, like, not as big of a deal because they were trying to preserve themselves? And the spirits answered, I have already responded in saying that there is more to merit in undergoing all the trials of life with selfishness and courage. In this case, there is a homicide and crime against nature, and it must be doubly punished. So the thing is, we understand you're trying to preserve yourself, right? But you can't, just because you're trying to preserve yourself, that can't be, like, an excuse to go crazy and do whatever you want. So no, you're not, it's not going to be a lesson thing. You should be, if you're in that moment of despair, that's a really tough trial, but that's a moment where you still have to think of God, still praying to God, still thinking about the best situations, even in these worst situations, which are very hard trials. It's very hard to do, but we can't just be like, oh, okay, I'm in this awful situation, so now I can do whatever I want, and it'll be fine. No, there's still consequences, and it's still a punishment. Question 710. On worlds where their physical makeup is purer, do the living beings have need for nourishment? So what they're saying is, so on Earth, obviously, we need food. We need to be nourished. But on worlds that are more evolved than us, that they're pure spirits, do they still, like, need food? Do they still need nourishment? And the spirits answered, yes, but their food is in keeping with their nature. Such food would not be sustainable enough for your dense digestive systems. Likewise, they would not be able to digest yours. So, yes, they still have the need for resources and nourishments and, like, food to keep them alive, but theirs are different than ours. So, like, ours are still very dense because, like, our bodies are very dense, so, like, our food and all that is very dense, but theirs is not as dense. Let's say, like, lighter. So, it's different types, but they still do need nourishment. And now we got to the next section talking about the law of preservation still. And this one's titled, The Enjoyment of Material Things. So, how we enjoy material things. Question 711. Is the use of the fruits of the earth a right of all humans? So the question's saying, if the fruits of the earth, so, like, stuff that the earth is producing, is it, like, for all humans, or are there some humans that, like, can have that? And the spirits answered, that right is a consequence of the need to stay alive. God would not impose a duty without granting the means to fulfill it. So, yeah, so you have the right, like the fruits of the vegetables, the food that the earth provides, we all kind of have a right to it, because the reason we have a right to it is because God gave us, like, okay, you're going to have this law of self-preservation, you're going to want to preserve yourself, but you're going to have to work on doing it, like, humbly and not being crazy because of it, and staying connected to the God towards it, so all these things, but God has to, he would still implement the ways to fulfill. They wouldn't be like, oh, you're going to have to preserve yourself, but I don't know where the food's going to come from. So no, there is enough for, there are rights for all humans to have the fruits of the earth.
Question 712. Toward what end has God made the enjoyment of material things attractive? So basically, it's like kind of saying, like, so why do we have this, like, strong connection to these material things? And, like, we're attracted to them. And the spirits answered, to drive humans to fulfill their missions, and also to test them with temptations. So it's like driving us to fulfill our missions. Because let's say my mission is to become a doctor. So if your mission is to become a doctor, but let's say there's no material things. So once you become a doctor, there's no money reward. So you can do whatever job, and there's no money. So let's say you won't. So having this, like, let's say money or, like, these goals, these material goals, kind of pushes us to fulfill these goals, to learn more, to work harder in our lives. Or else we would just sit there in any job without, like, an education, because we would still get the same reward because there's no money. So with having, like, material things, we kind of encourage ourselves to move along and to progress and to learn.
But it also tests our temptations. So it's like, it's kind of testing us, like, when we know we should do the thing of good, or, like, when we know we should choose God above material things. Well, if there wasn't any material things, then we would only have one choice to make, so it would be easy. But now it makes it harder, and, like, it's tempting us with all these material things. So that's just another trial we have to get through. And then there's a second part to this question, and it says, what is the purpose of such temptations? And the spirits answered, to develop their reason so that they may learn to keep themselves from excesses. So these temptations are there to kind of help us learn how to, like, control ourselves and see what, okay, this is what I need and this is what I don't need. These are just excesses. Like, you need food, but you don't need these, like, crazy fancy 5-star meals all the time. So it's like, even like these kind of little things, like, okay, this is what I need food, but I don't need to go crazy with it. Or, like, I need a house, but I don't need to go crazy with it. So it's, or, like, I need clothes, but I don't need to spend everything in it. We shouldn't be only driven by these material things. So it's to help us kind of reason and balance material things and learning in God. And then Allan Kardec puts his own comment in, and he says, if humans had only been driven to utilize the fruits of the earth because of their usefulness, their indifference would have compromised the harmony of the universe. God has given them the attraction of pleasure, and this in turn incites them to accomplish the design of providence. However, through this same attraction, God will also test them with temptations, and this incites them to abuse. Nonetheless, their reason should free them from it. So basically, like, they're saying, if humans came on Earth, and let's say we only had the fruits of the Earth, and that was it, and everyone was like, okay, we all got to share, and that's it. Well, if that was just the way, then it would kind of, like, not be as important, because that would just be the way of living, and you wouldn't really have, like, learned from its usefulness and learned anything else. I would have just been like, okay, that's what was given, and that's it. But with this, we have a lot more trials, and yeah, it might be harder, but that's what we want. We want to go through these harder things and improve on them until we eventually, like, completely get past that. So these attractions help us to go through these little challenges and prove that we're still above these materials. Question 713. Do enjoyments have bounds traced out by nature? So they're saying, so do enjoyments have, like, bounds in nature? Like, does nature trace out kind of the stuff that we enjoy? And the spirits answered, yes, to show you the limit of what is necessary. But through your excesses, you bring on satiety, and thus you punish yourself. So, like, in nature and God's laws, we have the, like, traced out, like, okay, we do want, like, to have fun and to enjoy ourselves and to love one another and all that. But we have bounds to these enjoyments. And these bounds are put there so that we can see, okay, what is necessary. Like, it's good to laugh. It's good to be happy and enjoy ourselves. But what is like, okay, a good, like, necessary amount of happiness, of enjoyment, and then what are we pushing? What are we being excessive about? So having these like limits and these bounds in nature help us to see, okay, yeah, it's good to laugh, it's good to have fun with friends sometimes, but also then it like kind of pushes it kind of pushes back. Okay, we still need to study, we still need to learn, and not only just like have fun and enjoy ourselves.
Question 714. What should be thought of those who seek to satisfy their taste through all kinds of excesses? So another saying, so okay, so we understand that there's some things that, okay, it doesn't mean that we can't have any fun. We can have fun, but some things are excessive. So what about those people that they're only doing the excessive things? And the spirits answered, they are unfortunate creatures whom we should pity and not envy, because they are very close to death. So what they're saying is that, okay, maybe we're looking and we're saying, oh, wow, look, that person has the biggest house. They have all these things. They go to all these cool events. But maybe they don't even have a job. Maybe their family relationships aren't that well. Maybe their relationships with other people aren't that well. So these people that, even though it may seem like they have a lot and they're living the life, they're unfortunate because they're not really learning anything, and they're doing all these excessive things. And what they said here is that they're very close to death. And then the second part of the question elaborates on this. And so the question is it physical or moral death that they are close to? And the spirit answered, both. And then Alan Kardec puts his own comment in, and he says, those who seek to satisfy their tastes through excesses of all kinds, place themselves below the animals, because animals at least know how to limit themselves to satisfy their needs. Such persons negate the reason that God has given them for their guidance, and the greater their excesses, the greater their dominion they give their animal nature over the spiritual. Their illnesses, ailment, and death will result from the abuse are also punishments for transgressing God's law. So what they're saying is, going back to all these material things, and especially excessive, that's putting you like below animals, because at least the animals know how to control themselves with what they need and what's excessive. At least the animals know how to do this. If these people don't know how to do this at all, they're like at a state lower than the animals. And if they're all these things, then like mentally and morally, they're not improving at all. So it's like not a moral death, but just like kind of like figuratively, like you're not moving ahead because you're so stuck behind in this. And also physical, because like illnesses and stuff that's going to attract to us when we don't have like anything good going on, we're going to attract negative thoughts and maybe even negative like illnesses and that kind of stuff. And these are kind of, they say, like, punishments for transgressing God's laws, but it's not really punishments, it's just, like, a time for us to kind of think about it and realize, kind of to, like, shaken us up and be like, what are you doing? And we see many people who, maybe they were, like, close to death in some way or form, and then they were like, wow, I should change how I do this and this and this in my life. And that's why, maybe we just need, like, a startlement, maybe we just need to realize something so we can change ourselves. And so these punishments aren't like, oh, God's punishing us, but it's to show us what we could be doing and kind of to shake us awake and be like, what are you doing? Try and fix this. And of course, there's nothing wrong with people who do have huge houses and who have nicer cars or who have a lot of money, because maybe they just like had a lot of money from their family line, from something or other. But it's what they make of it. It's what they're doing, how they're acting with other people. If that's the only thing that matters to them, or is it just like this house got passed down to my family, but I'm still trying to learn, I'm still trying to do all these stuff, I'm still trying to get a job. So it's based on the person. It's okay to have these things, but we need to see how much importance we're giving to these superfluous things. And speaking about superfluous things, the next section that we're going to get into right now is called Necessary and Superfluous Things. Question 715. how can people know the limit of what is necessary? So this is a good question. So we're talking about, okay, only, like, what's necessary and there's excessive stuff, but how do we know what is necessary?
And then the spirits answered, those who are sensible know it by intuition, but many recognize it at the cost of their own experience. So they're saying that most people, like, sensible, who are, like, thinking about it, they kind of have it as, like, an intuition, like a gut feeling. They're like, oh, this is necessary. Oh, this is not necessary. But many who don't have this just, like, gut feeling, they just experience it. They experience, oh, one time I had all this extra stuff that I didn't need. Even if we think of a simple example, like food. Yes, we all need to eat food. We know that's a necessity. But when you go out and you pig out on all this junk food, then you're going to be sick. And then from that experience, you're going to know, okay, that was excessive. That was too much. I didn't need all that much food, especially not junk food. And now you learn from that experience. So that's the same way that we'll go learning about these things, is through your own experience, through getting that stomach ache because you ate all that. You're like, oh, that was excessive. I didn't need that. I should just eat what is necessary. And that's just a simple example, but that goes for lots of other things. Question 716. Hasn't nature traced out the limit of what is necessary in our own physical organization? So, hasn't nature basically, like, traced it out, like, especially on your physical organization, like, on your body? Because we know that, like, I'm shorter, so I have to eat less than people who are, like, 6'5". So, based on your physical organization, doesn't that depend also what your necessities are? And the spirits answered, yes, but people are insatiable. Nature has traced out the limits of their needs in their physical organization, but their vices alter their constitution and create artificial needs. So, yes, like, nature has kind of, like, given us, like, okay, you have these needs, but in our own, like, minds and stuff, we kind of alter that. We're like, oh, this is a need. Like, some people might maybe, like, in their head, and just because of the way they think, they might think, oh, this is a need, but it's not. Question 717. What should be thought of those who monopolize the fruits of the earth to procure for themselves what is superfluous at the expense of others who lack what is necessary? So there's some people, and of course we know this, there's people who have a lot. They have a surplus. They have all these necessities. And excessives maybe that are at the expense of these other people, and these other people have nothing. So let's say there's like a pile of fruit. One person has like 30 of them, and the other person has one. So what about these people that just have it all, and they're not really thinking about any of the other people who are kind of paying for that person taking all the food? And the spirits answered, they do not understand God's law, and will have to answer for the privation they caused. So they don't understand God's law, obviously, because they're not even talking about too much excesses for themselves, but they're also not caring about others, and they're also not helping others. So they're just not understanding God's law. But so eventually they are going to have to, like, quote-unquote, like, pay for this. They're going to have to, like, come back and fix that in various forms. And then Allan Kardec puts his own comment in. He says, the line between what is necessary and what is superfluous is not absolute. Civilization has created necessities that do not exist in the primitive state. And the spirit who dictates these precepts do not mean for civilized humans to take lives like primitives. Everything is related, and it is up to reason to place each thing in its proper place. Civilization develops moral sense, and at the same time, the sentiment of charity, which leads people to mutually support one another. Those who live at the expense of others' privations exploit the benefits of civilization for their own profit. They have only the varnish of civility, just as there are persons who possess no more of religion than its appearance. So what they're saying here is that what's necessary and what's, like, excessive and too much it's not an absolute line. It's not like, okay, we need this and then we don't need this. Because think about it. Just primitives ourselves. Like primitives, they didn't have any money. They didn't have any sorts of money. But now we do kind of need money's kind of a necessity to get us those other necessities. If we don't have money, how are we going to get that food or the shelter that we need that is a necessity? So that is kind of coming up as like a necessity in our thing, but also we don't need an excessive. It's okay if we have an excessive and to make good use of it, but we don't need to have the excessities. And also there's just other things that come in place that may seem like a necessity, may not be, and it's based on how we handle it and how we help one another or not help one another or just take everything for ourselves and pretend we're helping people but we're not. It's all really based on us and how much we want to grow and how much we want to learn. But so it's not like a distinct line like, oh, this is the right amount of this and this is not the right amount of this. So it's not like exact amounts. We have to kind of think and find those for ourselves. So that's what we'll leave off today, and then we'll continue off with the law of preservation next week. But before we leave off, I'd like to actually read two messages, one extra one, since it's our 100th day of Cardiac Radio for Teens. Which is crazy because it's our 100th, like, day of, like, having shows, but it's also 100 weeks, which is crazy that we've been through 100 weeks together. So this little message is by Andre Luiz, written by Chico Xavier, and it's in the book Endearing Gems, Illuminating Paths. Without good ways, you will live without the trust of others. Without a fortress, you will succumb as you face the first obstacle in the road. Without positive faith, you will wander without direction. Without dedicating yourself to goodness, you will risk terrible hardening of your heart. Without noble examples, you will become useless to the world. Without constructive word, the tedium will deplete your energy. Without your own effort, you will never reach the doors of the higher realm. Without hope, your terrestrial nights will be without light. Without understanding, your ways through the shadow will be painful. Without a spirit of renouncement, you won't help illuminate the paths of others. So, what I really liked about this message and why I thought it was fitting is that that's what we're working towards, all these things. Like, when it says, without this, when we're reading the Spirit's book, we're working towards that stuff. Like, it says, like, without dedicating yourself to goodness. Well, in the Spirit's book, we're learning why we should, and without positive faith, we're learning about positive faith and good ways and our own efforts and working hard. And even though we just do half hour a week, it seems like so little, but there's so much we can learn from that and improve and put that into our own lives. And it's crazy how much, like, all these little things add up and you know way more than you ever thought. So we have to continue to keep studying and learning and working hard to get better. And now to leave off with our message from the Daily Book of Positive Quotations for today's date, March 27th. This one's titled Positive Attitude. A strong positive mental attitude will create more miracles than any wonder drug. We don't understand entirely why positive thoughts impact our bodies in positive ways. We just know that they do. Research has shown that people who are sick improve more quickly when they have a positive attitude rather than a negative attitude. And we all know the power of the placebo effect. A positive attitude by itself may not cure an illness, but at the very least, it helps us cope better. If a positive attitude can help us when we're sick, how might it benefit us when we're not sick? I can face whatever comes today with a positive attitude. If at all you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, anything you want to talk about at all, feel free to email me at cardiacradioforteens@gmail.com and I'll get back to you right away. I'm Bia, and this has been Cardiac Radio for Teens. Thank you all for listening.